Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Rosie Green. She's back on the podcast.
I'm back here. I'm so excited. I wish I was sitting next to you, but anyway, this will have to do.
I wish I had made a little nest for you on the sofa with sushi.
That was so lovely of you, and I still felt so broken at that stage. And you made a little nest with sushi, and I kind of driven to see you, and you know, honestly, I look back on those times and I feel so grateful.
Aww. Well, you're back on the podcast. So when the last time you came on, you talked very openly and frankly about divorce, because that's what you were going through at the time. And it's actually really interesting to say you were broken then, because we were having a conversation about how it had broken you in the immediate.
Yes.
But obviously it not that it lingers, but it can be a very long process. The brokenness.
Yeah, and it's interesting. And I think that's the natural human spirit, is you're like, oh, thank God I'm not there, you know, where I was like a year ago or where I was 6 months ago. And I just spoke to Caroline Barnes, the makeup artist, and I remember I wrote a piece for Red just like maybe 6 months after the split. And to accompany it, I had some pictures taken and she came to do my makeup.
Oh, those were nice pictures.
I mean, hello, I'm loving her makeup. And she said, you were trembling. So I thought I was sort of coming out of it, but she said you were physically trembling. And it's true. I remember just shaking for about a year. I know. Anyway, I'm not shaking now, so that's good.
No, you're not shaking now. And it's obviously been hard because I'm your mate. We're friends. It's been horrible to see you go through that, but it's also sort of been lovely recently to see the blossoming. And I remember when we spoke, when you came here and I made the nest and we had the sushi, I spoke about the fact, do you think that you'll look back and think, actually, this is a really wonderful thing that happened? Because my life, I think I'm happier now than I would have been if it had stayed on that course. So I'm going to pose that question again.
Well, do you know, I was speaking to the amazing Amanda Byron, you know, who did the... who makes everyone who, you know, all those teenage boys watching her do Total Wipeout. Anyway, it transpires she's a brilliantly funny, amazing person and has written this book. And I interviewed her for it and we talked about my situation. And she said, in an Irish accent that I'm not going to attempt to do, she was like, it's a gift. And I was like, and I can sort of start to see that. It's interesting. I mean, I still have sadnesses, obviously. I'm sad for the kids. I'm kind of sad for that life that I would have had. But then I can also see the total joy. And I do feel, I mean, it sounds a bit sort of American LA, but I feel much more authentic to myself. Like I feel like my writing's more authentic. I feel like I'm feeling all the feels. It's a period of intensity that actually is so energizing, which is amazing. So it's weighed up with, you know, that sort of comfort blanket not being there. I actually can't even remember how I used to feel, really. So I sort of feel this sort of roller coaster of emotions all the time at the moment, but I do feel energized and I do feel very hopeful.
And just for listeners, anyone who's wondering, can we just talk about what the timeline is, actually? Because people will be thinking, oh, that's how she feels now. How long ago was it that she broke up with her husband?
Yeah, I guess. So I mean, a sort of bit of background was that I was married for 15 years. I was together with my husband for 26. And, you know, we had this kind of perfect picket fence life, didn't we, really, you know, which I wrote about for Red, although I was always very honest about how kind of it was perfectly imperfect and our car was sort of held together with raisins and, you know... It so was. And just like, you know, actually I met someone the other day and they said, I remember you writing about how you were so busy that you'd never had time to adjust your bra straps. And I was like, that's true, you know. So it was the kind of like young children thing. Anyway, it spectacularly imploded in summer of 2018 when, you know, my ex who'd just been this sort of super steady, moral, you know, just kind of not dangerous as you know, people would say, and, you know, just kind of suddenly wanted out, you know, behaved in a way I just didn't think he ever would, you know, and so, yeah, it was really shocking. And so then there was about 6 months of sort of yo-yoing back and forth. And then, you know, then I've been on this kind of journey from heartbroken to happy. Really, I think. Yeah.
Is that the name of the book?
It's not, the book's called How to Heal a Broken Heart, but Heartbreak to Happy became a sort of hashtag of mine, as well as From Snot to Hot, which I kind of prefer.
So actually, this is why you are a perfect guest for Feel Good Habits, because this, you in the last 2.5 years have had to dig really freaking deep to find a sense of self, a sense of just okay, just like today I'm going to get through it. And so that's why I'm really intrigued to hear what your feel good habits are that you're going to share with our most excellent listeners.
Oh, I'm loving your most excellent listeners. And actually last time I had so much amazing response from people that, you know, and this isn't one of my feel good habits, but you know, the idea of helping people just kind of helps you as well, doesn't it? But it was amazing, the response last time. And I think another thing to say is like how valuable feel good habits are. Like, I don't think I really even realized that before. So that's another gift the split gave me. I just like trundled through life. I didn't really, it was always about the next thing, the next house, the next job, the next, you know, and actually that kind of thing of like, well, surely being happy and content and feeling grateful and all those things are kind of what makes life rather than, you know, your marble kitchen worktop, you know, because then there's always the next thing. Anyway, so I digress. I think, well, so we had our brilliant list, didn't we? And I guess the most, well, maybe the first one I need to talk about is my dog. So when we talk about, me and the kids talk about 2020 being a pretty shy year, we're like, but it's the year we got Pixie. And Pixie, I wanted to call her Miss Dior. Nobody else went for that. My son wanted to call her Chelsea because that's his favorite football team, and I can't remember what my daughter wanted to call her. Anyway, Pixie was in the Venn diagram, the only one we could agree on, and I was really nervous about it because I just thought, oh, it's going to take away so much freedom. I knew the kids wouldn't sodding walk her, even though they were saying they would and all this kind of stuff. And actually she came via a sort of friend in the village, and honestly, the love and the affection and the humour, you know, they're just so funny. And I mean, she's like lying on my bed now because it's like having a child. If she's in another room, she'll cry. And it's life changing. It really is life changing. And I realise for a lot of people, it's not possible. And I didn't think it was for me because my mum's deeply allergic to dogs. But she's hypoallergenic and she doesn't seem to have triggered her, which is amazing.
So was she a puppy when you got her? Because puppy stage can be really freaking difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether it's like with babies, like some of them are just easier than others. And she wasn't that bad. I mean, for the first like 3 or 4 weeks, you had to take her and she did various sort of poos and wheeze and stuff. But I was sort of fairly, you know, like you can just clear up a poo, can't you? So I don't know, like, it's a bit like when everyone has babies and they're like, oh, yeah, they sleep through the night. And you're thinking, oh, my God, I haven't had more than an hour's, uninterrupted sleep. So I don't know whether I'm just lucky with her. She's a Cavapoo-shan. Apparently poodles are very intelligent. So I don't know if that, you know, and she's very little. So she's quite transportable. But the kids maul her about. She's the most kind of, honestly, the most pliant, lovely thing.
It's so, I mean, I obviously don't have pets and would love to have pets. So I actually, and I'm going to show you a picture. I sponsored one.
Oh, look at him, Bubba.
I sponsored.
Sorry.
Bubba's story is that he's 7. He's from the Dogs Trust. and I was feeling a bit blue. Yeah. And it was around when the lockdown restrictions came in, and you know, you couldn't travel to see your family for Christmas. And I just thought, what's going to make me feel really good? And I thought, just making sure that a little doggy that I can't look after but would like to look after is fed and watered and warm and safe. So that's what
I did. Could you not get a Pomeranian or something, like one of those tiny little things?
When I'm able to finally buy, I will 100% get pets. But until then, it's just, you know. Yeah. But I totally understand that having a pet right now is really valuable.
Yeah, it is. And it makes me feel guilty for people like you that can't. But I guess maybe, yeah, when you have moved, you'll be like, yes, I know that that's what I want to do.
You'll be having the conversations with Nadine saying, she's got another cat. She's gets a bird, we're going over there.
Exactly. If it's a budgie, I can't do budgies, man. That sort of flying around is not good. So yeah, the dog, and then I think the thing that the thing that has felt so amazing in 2020 and maybe the latter end of 2019 was kissing. I'd never been on a date before, like ever. So I sort of went on my first date at 45, and I think on my first ever date, I kissed. I sort of feel like slogging sounds a bit juvenile, but it kind of is, right? And honestly, I mean, I just loved it. Like the dopamine, the kind of the feel good hit of a really good kiss is like outstanding. I feel like that is, you know, on the feel good levels, that's got to be a 10, right?
It's making me think, do you remember when Dawn French got to kiss Hugh Grant for comic relief? And they started kissing and she went completely limp. It's just making me think about that.
I mean, I just think it's something, kissing kind of goes a bit, I think, in a marriage. And it's certainly a different kind of, it becomes different. And in a way, my ex and I got together when I was so young that... I don't remember that, but this sort of new dating thing and sort of kissing various, you know, different guys, and then was just like, yeah, I mean, I'm not being very...
No, was it weird kissing somebody new for the first time?
No, it was just deeply fantastic. And I think the thing is, you know, like sex is amazing too, but with sex, there's so much more kind of, you know... I don't think you ever feel like bad for a kiss, you know, because you haven't sort of made yourself vulnerable in any way. So it's just kind of all pluses, basically.
So did you find yourself just like becoming a pash queen, as the kids used to say?
Such a pash queen. My friend Viv said to me, like, you're going to end up with glandular fever, basically. I was never posh enough to do this, but those girls, lots of my friends used to go to those what they called something balls when we were all like 18. Were you younger?
Like
than
cotillion, me? the English version of cotillion.
Posh, like all the posh girls used to go to those balls, and it would be in like the Daily Mail. You know, anyway, they'd snog like 10 people in a night. So you know, not that I've done that, but you know, yeah, I can't get. In fact, it made me remember this thing that a friend of mine said. She shall remain nameless, but we both know her. Anyway, she's in a long marriage, and she said that her husband, occasionally when her husband makes sort of sexual overtures at bedtime, she'll say, okay, I'll have sex, but I'm not kissing. So I think in a marriage, you know, it can go, you know, but yeah, that's what been a really good one. And I'm going to keep hold of that. I'm not going to lose the kissing.
Right. So this is a pact you've made with yourself. Yeah, snogging exactly. Will be a thing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to let that, you know, slide into kind of sanitized versions of.
Yes. I think it's interesting, actually, because obviously not being married, but I wonder if someone's listening to this and they're thinking, I can't remember the last time I snogged my long-term partner or husband wife. Maybe I'll go and, you know, plant some snogging on them.
Exactly.
See what happens.
I think that's good. But, you know, the reality is I don't think it's going to be the same, or maybe it is, as kissing someone new, because that is just like, you know, so bound up in all those kind of synapse firing, amazing stuff that no doubt your neuroscientists could tell us about.
I love the idea of just like the newness and just kissing being basically like a shortcut to getting a high.
Oh, I mean, it's a high like no other, basically. Especially if you combine it with a few margaritas or, you know, whatever.
Right, okay, kissing. I love it.
Okay.
And I do like the idea. It's just you saying about getting glandular fever. That was so the thing as a teenager. If somebody got glandular fever, you'd be like,
Done a lot of kissing.
Judging you. Right, sorry, let's move on to number two.
Okay, the next, hang on, have we only done one? We've done two.
Oh, goodness, right, let's move on.
Good job, I'm pouting. You're like my lovely personal trainer. She's like too busy chatting. And I'm like, no, we've done five of these. I don't want to do any more.
Your personal training on Instagram in the morning is so, you make it look easy and you make it look very glamorous in your My Wardrobe gear.
Things like the My Wardrobe gear. I literally, you know, in my marriage, all that stuff, like I mean, my friends used to take the piss out of me. My sort of sports gear was so bad, like honestly, because I didn't think that was a priority and I prioritized other stuff. And just to have the nice stuff makes such a difference, doesn't it, to how you feel. You know, you don't have your ass hanging out, they're not like the leggings aren't see-through, you know, it's just, it makes such a difference.
My gym wardrobe is not the brand that we're talking about, but my actual wardrobe with my gym stuff. I bought special hangers and everything. Because I like working out, and if I prioritize it in that way, it becomes something I take really seriously. So I wake up in the morning and I have a tiny little section of a wardrobe, and I have my little special hangers, and I have them all hung up really nicely, and I get my leggings and I get my sports bra. And in my head, it's like sharing Clueless with her computerized wardrobe, matching leggings to sports bra. But it makes me feel really good. And so, yeah.
I do think, you know, A, there's the sort of practical stuff, like you're not cold, you're not wet, you're not, you know, your ass isn't hanging out. But yeah, you're right, that totally makes a difference. So talking of cold and wet, my next one is warmth, which I know is sort of quite overarching, but I'm quite a cold person. And I think generally in life, I've never sort of really prioritised, you know, we live in quite a cold cottage. I never really sort of prioritised any warmth. And I remember my mum would always say, oh, do you not need to put some socks on or put a jumper on or do something? But I was always so busy and so frantic, you know, never having time to adjust my bra straps or whatever. And so we lived in this quite sort of, well, I still do in a sort of cottage with like rattly windows and stuff. And I just realised that warmth was incredibly comforting to me, actually. So I kind of realised that if I just took the time to put slippers on. Now, slippers make me feel slightly queasy because it feels a bit sort of domesticated Midsummer Murders territory. But actually, I found some stylish ones, and it kind of, that makes a big difference. Every day I put them on and I feel better. And I now, you know, I will put a hot water bottle in the bed, or I will bring out, like, I've got this beautiful cashmere throw that I think Guerlain had given me a million years ago that had stayed in its wrapper because it was so beautiful. And I actually get that out and I have it while, you know, watching something on TV, and I kind of treat myself to that warmth. And I think as well, the kind of warmth of the dog on your lap or the warmth of the kids next to you when they, you know, that mine are at the stage where they don't really want to hug me, but they might slowly creep over to me on the sofa at night. And that kind of comforting warmth of that is amazing. So I think warmth, treat yourself to that, you know, the kind of electric blanket, all that stuff that sounds deeply dull but actually is really lovely.
I think this is such an interesting one, the idea of warmth, because even when you started saying it, I started thinking about my own experiences with warmth. And it, the way you were saying, you know, I never had time to put the slippers on, or I was too busy doing other things, it's almost, the expression my dad always uses is you don't have to wear the hair shirt. It's almost a sort of little bit of suffering.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. I think you're absolutely on the money with that. And I kind of think, you know, also there's an element of like, I don't deserve it, or I'm not, you know, we talked about the earlier about the candles and never lighting the bloody candle. You know, it's almost like, what are we waiting for? I mean, for me, I was always waiting till the room was totally decorated, or, you know, friends came around. I would do it for friends, but I wouldn't do it for me. And I think that's, you know, that's something that I've really learned, is that actually, you know, do it for yourself. And it kind of really does make a difference to how you feel about yourself.
Do you know, this is the first year, or the end of 2020 is the first year I've actually put radiators in my house on timers, because I've always just thought I will survive. I will try and not break I will try and not break, because I will, because heating costs money, and you know, if you go back and you've ever had that, those worries, you don't put the heating on.
Yeah.
So I totally get you. And you said as well, before we started talking, listeners, Rosie said about putting the hot water bottle in the bed. I've started doing that recently. Gosh, yeah. It's a joy.
It's such a joy. And I do think that is one of the massive benefits of a split. I mean, I don't know, like guys, I think run hotter than women, quite a lot of them. And so, you know, we'd have constant thermostat walls and he'd be like, it's boiling. And I'd be like, no, it's freezing, you know, so constantly we'd be turning that. So, you know, I still do obviously keep an eye on it for the finances, but it, you know, actually to be able to have it at the perfect ambient temperature is great.
Yeah, it's such a delightful thing. And also slippers wise, I can highly recommend the FitFlop Muckluck boot. I'm living in them.
No. Them. Oh my God. I think they might be downstairs. That is, are they the white fluffy ones?
What, mine are sort of a tan color.
Oh, well, mine are white and fluffy.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
They are amazing, but they are now filthy. If you can hear this FitFlop, please send me another pair.
Honestly, I am ruined for other shoes because I have lived in FitFlop for basically the majority of 2020. I wore the rally trainers and the boots and now the Mucklucks. And I went out to, when we could, I went out for dinner in central London and I wore my really nice peep toe platform high-heeled shoes, right? And I... fine, walked up halfway through dinner, walked to the end of the restaurant to go to the loo, and my friend said, either you're drunk or you can't walk in heels anymore.
Oh my God.
And it was a mixture of the two.
I mean, I wonder if we're all going to have, you know, it's a positive thing to come from this. I wonder if we're all going to have much better feet, because, you know, I was always in a heel. I love a heel. And I just, that's such a weird fashion thing, isn't it, to make it singular, heel. Mm. You know, there are two of them. Anyway. So I kind of wonder if it's going to really help.
We'll see. We'll find out. You're a very frustrating person. Listeners, Rosie is very tall and very long and lean. And so when you're out with her and you're 5'4" and you're more of a curvaceous shape and she's in a stacked heel.
Don't you give me that. You're so bloody gorgeous. I mean, honestly, every day I wake up to your smile and your thing. How are you keeping your teeth white? Am I like going downhill massively?
Spotlight toothpaste.
Oh, what is that? Okay.
So Spotlight Oral Care, their toothpaste. I'll send you the link.
Will you? Thanks very much.
Right. I feel like we're digressing massively.
Digressing massively. Although that is going to make me happy. That's a feel-good habit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So we have done those. Did we talk about certainty? That was one of them. Is this our last one or not our last one?
We haven't spoken about certainty.
Okay. So I think, you know, in terms of like mentally, which, you know, I massively realized that those kind of the things that you tell yourself are incredibly important in how you feel, obviously. I mean, that sounds totally obvious, but I don't think I really realized that before. And I think, you know, what the split did for me was it removed that kind of comforting certainty, and human beings like that, right? So, you know, this is who I'm going to be with forever. This is how our life's going to look like. This is, you know, the kids are going to follow this path and then we're going to follow this path and we'll do up the garden next and blah, blah. You know, you've got a plan, you know, and suddenly all those plans go. And actually, when I was investigating sort of heartbreak, I think a lot of the pain you feel is about the lack of certainty. So you sort of do miss them and you did love them. But actually, a lot of your pain is coming from just your brain scrambling to try and get back on course, basically. And so actually, I know for so many people at the moment, the pandemic means there's such a lack of certainty. And I kind of feel that one of the biggest gifts I've got from this is being much more comfortable with a lack of certainty, and that you can't control everything. And, you know, again, it might sound, you know, a bit wanky, but they're kind of here and now. Are you warm? Are you dry? Are you fed? Are your kids okay at the moment today? Yes. Try not to overthink that kind of future. Mm-hmm. There's that I mean, maybe people have heard this before, but that I hadn't, that Buddhist thing about the two arrows of suffering. There's the moment that you're in right now. Are you suffering? Are you in pain? Are you upset? Maybe. You know, there's the second arrow of worrying what will come. And actually, of course, there's a point in sort of thinking about the future in terms of sort of strategizing for it. But you cannot predict it, as one's current circumstances show.
Yeah.
So it's no point like worrying about stuff all the time. But what I did get the advice from was, you know, create those little, in terms of feel good habit, create those certainties that you have. So, you know, they are, your friends are there for you, your family love you, you've got two lovely kids, you know, you've got enough food in the fridge. I mean, hopefully people do have those things, or if they don't have those things, they have other things that they can focus on. So yeah, I mean, that has been an amazing gift to kind of realize that I don't need that level of certainty in my life.
That's really powerful. And I think one of the things that I also heard in that is, I think about when I was depressed and how I just got to the point where my brain only thought about the things that might go wrong. So yeah. I was, and in a similar way, it meant that I wasn't ever enjoying what was happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, that must be so tough. And what I don't understand with depression is, you know, how, you know, what's going on in the brain and how you can, because presumably it's slightly different in terms of how you can get out of that, because it's chemical, right? Something's, you just haven't got enough serotonin to kickstart those positive thoughts. Is that right?
Well, I mean, yes, there are chemical imbalances, but I think also, and I've spoken about this before on the podcast, I think you can just, I took real comfort in science, believe it or not. Surprise, surprise.
No, I did too. My whole heartbreak book totally focuses on that. Well, sort of doesn't. It's half memoir, half manual. But the manual bit is about that, how your brain works.
Yeah. So I think if you can, like, if you can stand up and laugh, force yourself to laugh for 60 seconds, you release chemicals in the body that think, well, she's not in a state of stress. She's not running away from anything. She's obviously in a good mood. So we'll suppress sending out all the adrenaline and cortisol. Like, okay, maybe not clear science, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, if you so I feel like you can hack your system. And I feel like what you're saying about certainty is very similar, in the sense of, it's training yourself to think a different way that benefits you mentally and physically and emotionally.
Yeah, and that is right on the money. I think I need to write all that down. But I think as well, you know, people will say about dealing with a split, you know, some people, you know, it hits people at different times in the process harder than others. And, you know, some people find it easier to climb out of that black hole and some people don't, you know. And I think a lot of it's to do with luck and how much resilience and stuff that you're born with. And for me, I feel as well like I have all these privileges. You know, I have a job, which means I can research and write about stuff that's going to help me. I have an amazing network of friends. I have a solid, supportive family. And I realize there are a lot of people out there that don't have those things. So I guess in a way, that's what I wanted the book to do, which was just to introduce people to all those thoughts, you know, thought processes and techniques, you know, like your feel good techniques, which I think are incredibly valuable. You know, they're incredibly helpful to people.
And as well, there's something within that might seem easy, but I think actually can be quite difficult. And that's the appreciating what you have without then feeling guilty for having it. Did you experience that?
I have done in the past, and I think for me, it's about trying to recognize that other people might not have stuff and, you know, always be aware of that. So for you, I'm like, I feel so lucky to have my dog, and I'm sad for you that you can't have one, you know. But I guess what I don't need to do is spend the rest of the day thinking, oh, I wish Emma could have a dog. Because you'll have things in your life that I don't have. Like, you know, I was listening to one of your other podcasts and you talked about your sort of mum and dad listening to, I don't know, were you doing like Sudoku? You're doing some kind of thing.
No, I know exactly. You were listening to Sally Hughes and we were talking about the fact that when we go home, my dad will open the paper, there'll be a familiar rustle and he'll just say birthdays and we'll all gather. And he'll basically say the name of the celebrity.
You obviously had that kind of, I'm sure there were things that weren't perfect, but you know, you had that kind of cozy family stuff, which I didn't. I had a different kind of upbringing with my mum, which was still great, but she was single parent. So, you know, I always like look at that cozy thing and think that would be amazing. So I think I try not to have that guilt about that. But what I do want to do is share it with people.
That's
which
really
is another
lovely.
feel good thing, right? If you help people, helps you as well.
Yeah, it really, really does. And with me, it was helping Bubba.
Oh, helping Bubba. Are we on 5 now? Because we haven't done the honesty thing. Do we got time for that?
Yes, we have got time for it. We've done about 7, but you're Nadine came on and we went on some real tangents. So this is no surprise. Right, tell me about honesty.
So I think a feel-good habit of honesty is really important for me, because I feel like actually, you know, I was really honest about my split, and I sort of, as honest as I, you know, sometimes I guess we all kind of make things up, make pathways to make us feel better. But I felt like I talked about being rejected. I talked about being abandoned. I talked about all those really unpalatable things. And I think that made women really connect with me, because that's how they were feeling. But some of them were too ashamed to say it, or they were sort of so beaten down that they didn't want to share that, you know. And I think by being open, it meant that so much came to me. So kind of messages of advice and support from other women, in terms of my writing, it meant I could be much more authentic. And I felt, you know, I felt really kind of content with myself for doing that. And there was a brilliant thing that I read by Elizabeth Day that said, you know, there's no nobility in invisibility. And I think that about marriage splits, there's so much, you know, women can feel so much shame. I'm sure men can feel so much shame too. And then you keep it to yourself. And if you keep stuff in the shadows, then you never get to get your friend's reassurance or viewpoints or clarity. And for me, you know, there was so much stuff going on that didn't feel right, but I wasn't able to sort of see the truth or see the reality of the situation, because I was being told one thing by someone that I really trusted. And then I was thinking, well, I don't think this is quite right. So for me, being open and honest and talking about stuff means that it doesn't sit in the shadows and it doesn't fester. It's almost like get it out into the light, and then you can see it for what it is, and then you can really move on rather than sort of suppressing it.
Agreed. And I think there are two things here. There's being honest with yourself and then being honest with other people. And I wonder, when you're being honest with yourself, does that sound the same when you're explaining it to other people? Is that the magic? Right. You know what I mean? When you go through something and then you meet a friend and you begin to edit the story, even though you're trying not to, you edit it in your favor.
Exactly. You do. And I think that's human nature. And I think that, you know, like anything, it's not black and white. And actually a divorce coach lady, Sarah Davison, said to me, you know, you need to stop telling your sad story at one stage, because it's, I mean, which I've been doing a lot, by the way, when we're talking about the book, I'm like, oh my God, the sad story keeps going on. But, you know, you kind of, that's what time does. It gives you distance and an ability to kind of, you know, ability to normalize what's happened, I guess. I don't know if that answers your question, really. I think we all do that editing thing when we talk to other people. But also, in a way, I think that editing thing is quite useful, because it's like, you know, he left and I feel shit. First conversation, he left, but I'm dealing with it, and actually I'm finding a positive. My conversation with it now, I'm happy, you know. Yeah. And I guess maybe you might say those things before they actually happen a bit. And in fact, Ruby Hammer said that to me, because she had a Ruby Hammer, the makeup artist, she had a horrendous split that was similar to mine, actually, I think, in her sort of late 30s. And she said, for a long time, I said I forgave him because I wanted to be that person. She said it was about 10 years later that I actually forgave him.
Yeah.
So, you know, honesty is, you know, I just think we just try to be as honest as we can, and then you get the feedback that you need.
Yeah, there's a lot of pain actually in living in denial or sort of hiding from a truth. And yeah. I had Jeff Thompson on the podcast last year. It's one of the most profound conversations I had in 2020, possibly in the last few years, actually. And he said something which was really powerful, which is, if something scares you, or if your instinct is to hide from it, run towards it at full speed, because that's the only way. And I have done, and ever since I heard that, I have used that advice with everything. If ever I feel scared of anything, even if it's something stupid, like I've got to do my finances or anything that I'm scared to do, I do it first, I do it immediately, and I give it my full attention. And it takes the sting and worry out of it all.
Yeah, that is such good advice. And I think the finances of the split made me feel awful, because I just couldn't believe, really, that the person that I thought we were a team with, you know, was, I mean, it has to happen, you know, was saying, well, I'm, you know, I don't want to give this much money. I want to give this much money. And I'd be like, oh my God, really? It was like a sort of dagger to the heart. And then, you know, that meant that I then sat on stuff and didn't look at it. And you're so right. It was far, the reality is far, is far better than the sort of idea of it.
And also the feeling you get for actually facing it. Is,
yeah, like, exactly.
That's up there with being a Pash queen, right?
No, not quite. That's it. So I'm going to send a hot man to snog you and a Pomeranian. Watch out.
Just don't get them mixed up.
No, exactly.
Oh, lockdown's been lonely, but not that lonely.
Oh my God, yeah. Although I have to say, honestly, if I didn't know the dog existed, then yeah, honestly, so joyous. Brilliant.
Aww. Rosie, these have, as expected, been absolutely brilliant feel-good habits. And unique, actually. I don't think we definitely haven't had kissing before. And I love warmth. I love that one because you're so right. I think we can almost sort of very passively punish ourselves.
Yes.
And warmth is actually a real treat and a pleasure, and we shouldn't restrict ourselves from it if it's available to us. I love that one.
Not your turn of phrase, passively punish ourselves. You need to write the book right now. The World According to Emma Guns.
I really wish I was a better writer than I am. You're a magnificent writer. You could, honestly, if you saw me writing, the look on my face and the stress in my body, I look constipated. It does not come naturally.
Maybe you just need to dictate it then. My life in conversations.
Oh, that's a plan. Right, we'll work on that for 2022. Yeah. Right, your book is out. Your book out is out imminently. So I'll put the link to pre-order it in the show notes, actually. And I'm hoping that you'll come back to actually talk about the book with me.
Thank you. I will. I mean, this has just been the most joyous part of my day, quite frankly. Well, apart from a cuddle with my dog, other than that.
Also, listeners, there's one thing you need to know, and I'm not letting you off the hook with this.
Yeah.
I'm video calling Rosie, and she looks like Kate Beckinsale. She's wearing the most gorgeous, soft, like white roll neck jumper and skinny jeans. You look like Kate Beckinsale. You look like you're on Kate Beckinsale's Instagram.
Oh my God. I mean, how does she look so young? Because she's like, she must be 50, is she, or like 49 or something? I don't understand.
That's the situation where what you do is you get a picture of her and you text it to Nadine, and then within 15 minutes you'll get your full rundown.
Yeah, actually, what a brilliant program that would be. You need to do that. Like, why does she look this way? Perfect.
And she also seems to have, I also think Kate Beckinsale looks so good because she's obviously clearly very young at heart and incredibly funny and looks for the joy in everything. If you watch her Instagram, she does not take anything seriously. And so I like to think that's her anti-aging trick.
Brilliant. Well, I'm sure that's it. Plus a personal trainer and a dietitian, and, you know, like a chef.
Yeah, she does go to see Gunnar Peterson. She works out with Gunnar Peterson every day.
Oh, hats off to her then, because he's hardcore, right?
Have you trained with him?
No, but he does J-Lo, doesn't he? And she just looks like she just works out all the time.
She does.
I have been with David Kirsch.
Oh, I know him. Who's he? Yeah. Who's he done?
He's like the American guy, just like Heidi Klum and stuff. And for ages when I was at Elle, he was like my go-to for interviews and stuff. And he was like, never eat a banana. Have you ever seen a thin monkey?
Oh!
I mean, he was hardcore.
Honestly. Do you know, I know so many personal trainers who detest bananas. And it's a thing. It's a bit of a thing. Yeah. Because they're full of sugar.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus, if that's your guilty pleasure, then, you know, you're doing all right.
Yeah. Right, Rosie, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so, so much for doing this. This has been absolutely wonderful. I will put the links to you, the book, your Instagram, everything in the show notes. But thank you for coming back.
Thank you. Bye.